We have been doing a series on sowing and growing, and next week will be the last week on the growing part of this series. So, and then we'll move on to other topics. But we really have been learning about maturity in Christ, maturity, how a mature Christian looks like, a growing Christian, and what are the things that we should be looking at, thinking about, teaching our kids to grow in the Lord as well, and those kind of things. So it's been something very important in my life that we do things correctly and not just go through the motions of life, but to do them in God's order, to do them the way God's word teaches us to the best of our abilities. Because whenever you have, nobody understands God's words completely, 100%. We don't have that kind of understanding and knowledge like God has, obviously. So whenever someone tells you, I've read the Bible, I know everything, I understand it, you run from that person, right? You run. Whenever you have someone say that they understand everything, then there's a problem there to begin with. So run. But that being said, what God has charged us to do is to dig in and learn and grow as much as you can. And that's my my prayer as we go through this series of sowing. You got to sow into the right things. And what we were talking about, you got to sow into biblical principles, right? Amen. You can't sow into the world stuff, right? We have young people in the church who aren't being taught, you know, about marriage and about the right way of intimacy and things that the world is just goes crazy doing it their own way. But there's a way that God has structured it, right? We have to teach our children these ways. And if we've made these mistakes, we just have to set them correct and then tell our kids and our children and those that it was incorrect and now it's correct and God's going to bless us, right? You set things right, you move forward, but you got to get your life aligned with God's word to the best of your ability. Now, I always say the best of your ability because nobody's perfect, right? But it does not give us an excuse to continue in sin or continue to be imperfect. Jesus never excused sin, right? He always has compassion and mercy, but always said, go and sin no more. Always said, you got to stop what you're doing, and if your right hand causes your left hand to sin, cut it off. You know, he was very, very direct when it came to dealing with sin, but he had so much mercy and compassion and love. So that's been the kind of this year's theme, 2019, and like I said, next week we'll finish off this theme in general of sowing and growing. But today, I wanted to cover, well, let's go over in your notes, if you have your notes with you. The things we've been learning, lessons learned so far about growing into spiritual maturity. So quick recap, when you're always quarreling and having conflict and having quarrels and arguments, there's immaturity there, right? Because maturity understands sometimes it's time to speak and sometimes it's time to stay silent, right? So we talked about that. Quarreling shows immaturity. How Paul said, the reason your church is always quarreling and always fighting and saying, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Saul. The reason you all are having these fights is because you're babies. And that's pretty much what he said. Huh? You're drinking milk. Right? We read that scripture and I wanted to. So we know maturity, where there's maturity, there's peace. There's unity. And so you need to work to that. We need to work as Christians to stay away from the quarreling that doesn't really matter, right? The little stuff, like your feelings were hurt, you know. Who's feeling? Did anybody here never have had their feelings hurt? Raise your hand. Okay, so you never had your feelings hurt? Okay. At least one time. One time, at least. So everyone has their feelings hurt. So if that's what you want to quarrel about, then get in line. Everybody can quarrel about, you know, that. So it's important not to stay muddled or stuck in that mindset. Number two, God is a God of order. This is very important for us to teach our children to live our lives this way. God is a God of order. God does not ever go out of order. He says very clearly in the scriptures, and we read them, that those that are an authority over you, that the government, from government, police officers, to teachers, to pastors even, to your parents, all of those are authorities that God has ordained for us to be obedient to. Amen. When you rebel to that order, you're against God himself. I didn't say that. We actually read that, right? The other day when we were on that topic. When you rebel against the order, there's a way to handle injustice and unfairness. Because just because someone in authority over you does something to you unfair doesn't give you the right to break the order. See? Amen? That's those of you who are in authority understand, I understand that. Those of you who maybe are younger and, you think you can argue with your parents or disobey them because they're wrong, it's unjust. They treated my brother differently than they treat me, so I can disobey them. That's not right. Right? God is the God of order, and every child is treated differently. Different. So you have to stay within God's order, and that's important. And that's important for us to teach our children. And I always like to give the example of the teacher and the student. You know, your child may have a legitimate unfairness complaint about the teacher, but you should teach your child never to speak back or be disrespectful to a teacher, even when it seems unfair, right? You should tell them to talk to you, and then you, within order, if you really felt it was serious. Sometimes they may talk to you, and you'll be like, get over it, just listen to the teacher. Well, sometimes they may talk to you and say, that's a real issue I need to go take care of. And you, as a parent, have the authority to go and talk to a teacher respectfully and complain. There's always a way to appeal, so to speak. And even when the decision comes down against you, that's when you just let it go. And God says, justice is mine, says the Lord, right? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He'll take care of it. You just take it. Always stay in order. See, not a lot of people live by that. They think they're justified. It wasn't right. I'm justified to do this and get back. That is not what God teaches us in his word. That's what man teaches us, right? They had it coming, right? That's not how God teaches us. And then we learned about God uniquely works with us. Sin is not always the same for all. And I gave you the example. And I always said this before I went on, because when you just say sin is not the same for all, you can get in trouble as a pastor, right? If you just leave it there. You got to clarify that, right? Obviously, there are sins that are true for all of you, like adultery, lying, all these things that are Ten Commandments, right? Those are moral laws that all of us have to abide by. But there are certain things that is a sin for one and not a sin for all. And I gave you an example of God may be dealing with you about something in your prayer time, and you feel you need to fast for something, or the Holy Spirit is guiding you, and then you just disobey it, and you just ignore it. That can be a sin for you, but not a sin for somebody else, because God's speaking to them about something else. So things can be, sin can be different for others than for yourself. And that's important. It takes maturity to grasp that concept and not to muddle it up, so to speak. So God, and number four, God gives us freedom to grow in spiritual maturity. Last week, I enjoyed last week's lesson myself. I don't know if you enjoyed it, but the Old Testament laws versus the freedom we have in Christ today. And we went over that. If you want to hear that, it's on the website. It talked about how the old laws are gone and how we're free now. We're free. But the Bible said very specifically, don't use your freedom to do wrong. Use your freedom to love and to serve. Amen. We are free. We don't have to go sacrifice lambs for our sins and do this and that and eat certain things and eat certain foods and all of that. We're free from all of that. And some people would use their freedom to say, well, if I sin, I can just ask God to forgive me. So it's called premeditated sin. Right? Ever heard of that? I can sin because I can just go and ask for forgiveness. Right? There's certain truth to that. But the heart that thinks that way is a corrupt heart, right? He will forgive us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. But do not use your freedom for ill, because it will take a hold of you. Sin will. You got to be broken, because then there's another scripture that says, you are no longer who you used to be. You are now free from sin. And that's how we should live. So last week was about spiritual maturity understands that they're free in Christ, but you're going to use your freedom for good, for righteousness, for serving others, for loving others. And that's an important spiritual maturity lesson also. Because sometimes you'll get people who don't understand the Bible will ask, well, how come you don't follow all the laws of Moses, and how come you follow some of them and not all of them? And there is an intelligent answer for that. The moral laws we follow all the time, the Ten Commandments, et cetera, et cetera. But the food laws and the other laws, Jesus accomplished them. He fulfilled them, right? So that was good. And today I want to talk about maturity, spiritual maturity in terms of the peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. The main point in your notes today, and you don't have any underlines today, so you do not have to fill out anything today, but please write notes anyway on the site. The main point today is strive to be a peacemaker in all things. Growing, mature Christians are instruments of peace. All right? Repeat after me. Let's do the second sentence. Growing, mature Christians are instruments of peace. One more time. Growing, mature Christians are instruments of peace. Let's go to our first foundation scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed, we all know this scripture, right? The Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. When you see a peacemaker, you recognize that they're children of God. Amen? We should strive to be peacemakers in all things. If you'll locate James, I didn't mark up today, so I might take a little longer to find these. James chapter 3, verse 13. Another scripture that solidifies a foundation of peace, being a peacemaker. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. When you're wise, you're meek. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Right? You want to know the difference between a growing, mature Christian and an immature Christian? You will see that bitterness and envying and strife in your hearts will be there. Will be part of your character, part of who you are. This wisdom is not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and it comes from the enemy. Pretty much is what the Bible says. It comes from the enemy. Verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion of every evil work. Whenever there's strife and division and envying, we know that the enemy is confusing and doing evil work in that situation. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. It's gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You know what? When I read that scripture, It's like, if you want more peace in your life, be more peaceable. Sow peace. In other words, when there's an opportunity for you to have conflict or to get after somebody because it's fair and just and they did wrong, and you choose to just step back and say, you know what? I'm just going to let that go. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to have peace. I'm not talking about something that needs to be dealt with. Sometimes something needs to be dealt with, right? But those times when someone kind of just looked at you the wrong way and you're like, what? Right? You ever had one of those times? What are you looking at? Right? I remember that a lot in high school. What are you looking at? Just, you choose to have peace. You know what? It's not worth my time. You know, you don't say that out loud because then that comes out pretty non-humble. But you know what I'm saying is you just like, you choose to be at peace with stuff that just isn't that important. And when you sow peace and you sow being peaceable in a sense, you will have peace. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Let's read it again, verse 18. And the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So if you're a person making peace, you're sowing peace and righteousness. You're going to see that in your life. So it's very clear just by reading these two scriptures how important being peaceable is and being a peacemaker. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13:11, we all know this scripture, but it's good to read it from time to time. And it's good to read this scripture. I like to tell this to people. When you read scripture, if you find yourself reading scripture and thinking of somebody else's faults, it's time to stop reading. Ooh, step on some toes. Right? Like you read the scripture, yep, that's her. That's her. The sinner right there. It's time to stop, take a step back. You want to read God's word to feed and to reflect like a mirror on you, not a mirror on everyone else's faults, right? So learn to read God's word and make it, and same thing when you hear a sermon, right? Yeah, that's so-and-so. Take it in and let it speak to you. Because here, and this is what this scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, when it's time to grow up, it's time to grow up. When you're no longer a child, it's time to be mature in Christ and to grow in the Lord. And as I say that, don't toss that off to somebody else. Look at it for yourself. What do I need to do in my life to get rid of the immature things and to keep growing in the Lord and being mature so that I can make an impact for God's kingdom? And that's how we should look at it. So the Bible tells us to grow up and to put away childish things. So here are some, go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Here are some scriptures in Hebrews 12, 14 about just more scriptures about peace that I want you to underline or highlight. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace. In other words, search out for peace. Strive for peace with everyone, even your enemies, right? People that are trying to hurt you or to put you down. Be at peace. Let the Lord, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Don't try to take justice into your own hands. Let the Lord deal with them, but you be at peace. You'll be at peace. It's so much easier to live life when you don't have bitterness and envy and strife all the time. And God's given us a way to live that way. He's given us a way. Basically, somebody does something to you. If you need to confront it, you do. But well, you just leave it there. If it's not dealt with, you just leave it there. And you let God take care of it. Let God take care of it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. If you'll turn there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Another scripture about being a peacemaker. Ephesians 4, verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Be eager to maintain peace. Endeavor. In other words, find ways to make peace. An endeavor means you have to be intentional, right? You have to be intentional. Find ways to make peace. Find ways to try to be a peacemaker. There's a lot of conflict. Family conflict, work conflict, even church conflict. There's a lot of conflict. Blessed are the peacemakers. Be at peace and be a peacemaker. Don't look for trouble. Right? Don't look for trouble. Be at peace. In Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it be possible, you know, so there's a new phrase, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. All right? So the scripture gave you a little bit of an out here, if it be possible. There are situations where it's not possible, right? People go to war. The Hatfields and the McCoys, right? But the point of this scripture is you do all that is within you to make peace. All that is within you. It says there, all that lieth in you, live peaceably with who? Not just some men, not just the ones you like. All people. Live peaceably with all of them because, you know, when you seek after peace, you will be at peace because you reap what you sow. Amen? So be peaceable. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Look out to be the peacemaker and also look out to edify each other, to help one another. And you know what? There was so many more that I couldn't go through them all in 30 minutes. There was so many scriptures about being a peacemaker and sowing peace and so forth. But you get the point. Blessed is the peacemaker. Blessed is the heart that searches for peace. Blessed is the heart that tries to bring unity. You ever heard that phrase, be the bigger man? We shouldn't say man anymore, right? In today's society, you gotta say, be the bigger person. But we all know when the Bible says man or mankind, it's all of us, right? But be the bigger person, right? And be at peace. And be at peace. Let it go. Be at peace. The next part in your notes, the next part is the peacemaking inside the church. Keeping peace with your church leaders. This is very important. Whenever you see a bunch of division and conflict in the church, with leaders, with controversy, there's a whole lot of immaturity going on there. It could be the immaturity could come from the top, right? It could come from the top, from the pastor or from The immaturity could come from the congregation or from the leaders, right? Maturity and immaturity is not directly related to a position in the church. Amen? When God appoints leaders through the church, they're not being appointed because they're perfect. Right? They're being appointed because God has chosen them for such a time as this to accomplish a task with their imperfections and all. Amen? Nobody's perfect. But there's a lot of division in the church, and the enemy really works hard at this. Far too often, the enemy succeeds in causing division and removing peace within the church. I'm not covering this topic today because, I feel that there's division and there's attacks. It's a good time to talk about it when that's not happening. Because when it is happening, everybody just thinks it's personal, right? So it's a good time. And the whole point of this whole series is preparing you to handle things maturely. Because the enemy will come and try to divide. Whether your family, church, work, anything. He will. He's the author of confusion. And he will try to divide. So it's a good time to absorb these principles now and say, I want to be the bigger person that God wants me to be. So the enemy causes division in the church. The enemy has no authority over the church. However, where there is immaturity, divisions can rise quickly, especially with church leaders. So let's go to some scriptures to put things in God's order, because God's a God of order. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. I need to find that one. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders, now the elders in this passage is the leaders, the pastors, the leaders. Let the leaders in the church, elders, that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. All right? Especially they who labor in the word and doctrine, right? Those who are preaching, those leaders, pastors. You could just do a whole series on that right there. But basically what this verse is saying is give them double honor. Give them the benefit of the doubt whenever there's conflict that arises. Give them honor for their position that God has put them there. And give them the benefit of the doubt in certain circumstances and treat them with respect and honor. Verse 18, for the scripture said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out of the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Right? So don't muzzle the ox. So in other words, the ox does all the work as far as in the land, and it doesn't do good for you to tell the ox to go and prepare the land, and then you hold the ox back. Right? You're just working against yourself. And it's true with leadership. If you're just like causing conflict or not being peaceable about certain situations, all you're doing is really holding off your growth. And it's the same kind of concept. For the scripture said, don't muzzle the ox that treadeth the corn. So when there is an accusation against an elder, the Bible tells you how you should handle this. So when there's something a leader has done in sin, for example, then it should be dealt with. It should never be ignored. So don't interpret this by saying, I got to ignore things from my... No. If you saw me coming out of a bar drunk, it's something that needs to be dealt with. Amen? All right, okay. Anybody afraid? Don't be afraid. You got to deal with it. So that's not what honor, double honor means, right? That has, and there's a way to handle that, and it says it here. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Don't hear something from somebody and say, oh, okay, then that must be true. I knew it. Don't ever take an accusation from a leader, a pastor, or a leader, because you heard it from one person. When you're hearing from one person, in other words, it's like not hearing it at all. Amen. Amen? That's scriptural. And there's a reason why God put it that way, because then if one person's word was enough to convict an elder, then you would have no elders. Right? Because the enemy would have no problems putting someone in a church that was willing to lie about their leaders, right? So there's got to be witnesses, right, to the sin. And here's my two cents about this. We're not talking about tact and approach. We're talking about sin, right? You know what? Both me and I don't want to say a name because some of you might be named that. Me and so-and-so saw a pastor be rude to so-and-so. Well, okay, we'll call him in. He's got to confess his sins. That's not what we're talking about here. See, if you had a peaceable mindset, you'd be like, you know what? You can pray for the pastor. Maybe he had a bad day, or the leader, but it's not something to tear a church up about. Amen. Those are the kind of things that the enemy uses, immaturity. We're talking about a sin, right? A leader is in sin. Adultery, flat out causing lies, lying on purpose to hurt people. We're talking about real sins, right? That. And how do you handle that? There's got to be witnesses. So pretty much if two people are by themselves and the one person says the pastor sinned against me and nobody else was in the room, it's like it didn't happen. Right? Because eventually God's going to take care of it if there's a real problem, right? Something like that doesn't usually just happen once. So you got to just trust God will take care of it. God is a God of order, and it's so important to handle things in order. So against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. And when there is an elder that is in sin, rebuke before all that others may fear. So when there is a real situation, and it has happened in the church, you've heard it on TV, right? Where evangelists get caught in sin, and it hurts the church. And they have to repent, and many of them do. They repent, and they start over, or they stop pastoring or evangelizing, and they have to start over and get their life right. It happens. See, pastors are not any more perfect than you. They're human beings. That's why it's important to pray for your pastors. Amen. So when there is, then you do rebuke. It does get taken care of. So we don't ignore real sins, but always keep things in the order of being peaceable and of handling the pastor with and the leaders of the church with double honor, right? Double honor. In other words, give them the benefit of the doubt. Give them the position and until there's more than two or three witnesses. I charge thee, verse 21, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe those things without preferring one another before another, doing nothing in partiality. Let's go to the next scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12 and 13. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Verse 13. So the Bible says, if possible, no, this scripture says, esteem your leaders high in love. Be at peace. Be a peacemaker. Let's read it again. Verse 13. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. In Hebrews chapter 13, let's go there as the last scripture in this section. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. This is talking about not police officers, government. This is specifically talking about elders, right? Leaders in the church. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. It is important to be obedient, right, to church leaders. Now, church leaders are responsible for not lording over or being dictatorial over your life, right? Because God's a God of freedom. He wants us to be free. He wants us to make our decisions. Remember, as we said last week, don't use your freedom to do wrong. Use your freedom to love and to serve. But it's important that we're obedient to elders and leaders as it pertains to our spiritual journey, right? I'm not one that believes I can go to your home and look at how you're set up and say, okay, as pastor, you need to change that. You know, that's not the style that I work under. But when it comes to spiritual guidance, and, you know, it's important to obey the pastor with things that are within, you know, his jurisdiction as far as what God has given the pastors and the leaders accountability for. So when pastors of this church go to heaven one day, they're going to be held accountable on how good they shepherd and helped the flock. Amen? So when you are a part of a church and a congregation, it's important that you are obedient to, well, let's do this together, let's do that together, let's work together, let's all this, whatever we're doing for the church, for the community, to serve others. It's important that you work in unity and obedience and you get a job done to the best of your ability. Because if you don't, I like what it says there, the second part of verse 17, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. You don't want your pastors and leaders of a church to be in a situation where you're causing so much conflict and trouble, they don't even want to be there anymore, right? It doesn't help anybody. It says there, the very last part, for that kind of situation is unprofitable for you, right? So when you're causing non-peace in a church, you're actually hurting yourself in this whole growth of the church. So be at peace. Be obedient to your leaders. Be at peace. Do whatever you can. The Bible's pretty clear. So be obedient. If you give your spiritual leaders a hard time, then you force them into grief, which means they will be less effective as leaders. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You give your pastor a hard time or your leaders a hard time. They're miserable. You see them miserable. You tell everybody they're miserable. And then it just keeps going in circles. Be at peace. God's a God of order. So next week, we'll close out the series about growing and a whole two-part series about sowing and growing. Church, I really believe God's preparing us to be mature, to get ready to handle things, to get ready to love people, to serve people, and to teach them what we're learning so that they teach their children what's right and what's mature in Christ. And I believe that's what this is about. It's preparing us to be ready to handle things like adults, spiritual adults, eating meat, not being part of the conflict or the division, but being the peacemaker in all things. And I wanted to close with this. If you'll turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. This is the section of the fruit of the Spirit. And I wanted to read this in terms of spiritual growth, to growing spiritually. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, these characteristics are characteristics you will see in spiritually mature Christians. You'll see love. You'll see joy. You'll see peace. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it reads this way in the King James Version. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are the characteristics that you should do your best to live by and to grow in these areas. If you find yourself constantly in conflict, then you need to just be at peace. If you find yourself constantly with bitterness because of the way so-and-so did it, or so-and-so did this, or so-and-so, you need to pray and ask God to give you a heart of peace. A heart of peace. And that's what I believe that God wants us to learn is blessed, because he said in his word, blessed is the peacemaker. Blessed is the peacemaker. So as you grow in maturity in Christ, these fruits will become more and more evident. If you find yourself getting bitter and angry, you're not growing. It's time to stop. Get on your knees and ask God to take over. If you're not at peace, you know what the remedy is? You know what the medicine is? Sow peace. Forgive others, even if they don't ask. No more bitterness, no more grudges. Sow peace and you will receive peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. That's what Matthew chapter 5 said when we started. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we are determined to prepare. To prepare for you to use us as instruments. Each and every one of us in this room has in them a calling of greatness. And we are determined to find that calling into greatness, because we know that when we are in your perfect will, that's where we find true fulfillment. And this journey that we're in this year about sowing in the right things into biblical things, and the journey we're in into being determined to grow, it's not for no reason. There is a purpose for all of this, Lord, and I don't even understand it from where I'm standing, but I know this, that you understand it, and you are preparing us to be growing mature Christians so that we can impact people around us for good and teach them the right way to grow in the Lord. So Lord, seal this in our hearts. Teach us to be the peacemakers. Help us to let things go. And when we have to deal and confront things, help us to always do them in order, because you are a God of order. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God's